Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, you just said it, big news, lots going on. Where do we start?
Well, I guess we could start with something that's going to take 11 months worth of work, but we've reached agreement with the Lee's Family Forum to host the FSW Sweet 16th Anniversary Mecca Show.
Wow.
And now we just got to start putting everything together. And it's going to take a lot of work and trying to bring in some big name talent. And, you know, my good buddy Jeff from Tough Enough used to do Pack the Mac. Well, I guess we're going to try to fill the forum. You know what I mean?
Now, what happens if Lee's turns it over to someone else? Is it that's just name leasing, right?
Yes. Okay. So it's still owned by Mr. Foley of the Golden Knights.
Right.
As it's all trickled down. So now the Desert Dogs are now going to do their lacrosse games there, led by Wayne Gretzky as their owner. So maybe I get to meet Wayne Gretzky, get an autographed stick. Be all worth it.
Yeah, except you're going to get, unfortunately, an autographed lacrosse stick instead of a hockey stick. So
yeah, probably.
Any ideas of potential looking into maybe cross promoting? You know, we've seen that Chance seems to show up at some of these TNA shows. Possibility, you know, Chance has had a big
everything's big on the table. Everything's on the table. It's like it's going to be calling all the favors. You know, my first call was to MK because MK, you know, I'm going to be meeting with the Dudleys. We're going to Carrot Top, he said, on the 19th. And I'm like, where the hell are you going to go? Like, New York? I forgot CAC was in town.
Right.
So they're going to be there, you know.
Right.
Everybody's on the table. Like, you know, how many people can we get to see the Hardys versus the Dudleys in a TLC one last time, you know? You know, Ricochet lives in town. You know?
Right.
There's so many possibilities. Every big name is you know, on the docket, per se, in terms of that, trying to get sponsorships. So, you know, we can't wait till January to announce it. We need to, you know, this is the end game starting today, that everything would lead into that. And normally it's like kind of like no escape in January, but we have to figure out in some cases the entire year. So just because we're looking at doing it at next June doesn't mean somebody that we want in June, well, now maybe they become a major player for us over the next year. That, you know, kind of like how Matt Hardy was back in 2000 and, you know, 14, 15, whatever, you know, that was, to where he was our champion and defended the title at least three times. You know, I remember he beat Cage, he beat Lance Hoyt, he beat Alcatraz for the title, and then he lost it. But he had also worked beforehand when he teamed with Kenny against EC3 and Robbie E. And he wrestled Disco, and his kid wrestled Disco. So he wrestled Cross.
So basically, the match you got to work on is getting that Maxwell versus Disco rematch.
Yes, number two. I think Disco's ready. You know, hey, I'm gonna.
That's a match he could actually wrestle right now with his, you know.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. So it's like the idea is to make it a super event, and that's the process, you know, hitting up my guy Scott Hosey. And you know, one thing the Lee's Family Forum offers during their games, the bigger games, is you know, all you can eat thing. So We did that years ago with Matt Hardy, where we had a dinner with Matt Hardy, which included Q&A. So as I talk about a meet and greet, he's bringing up an eat and greet and different revenue streams, because we really want the bowl tickets to be literally like $10
right,
plus fees. And we want the number to be like $16 for the 16th anniversary.
Sure.
And we can fill a lot of that room that way. You know, my goal is, hey, they're going to cut off part of the arena because we're going to get all the bells and whistles. We're getting the scoreboard. We're getting the video walls, you know. And, you know, we even talked about the parking thing, to where I was like, yeah, I got tickets to a minor league indoor football game for $10. And then I had to pay $15 to park, right, you know. And it's like, you know, the new regime that's taken over, and Max has been great. And the great part about Max is he's been to our shows before. He's really good friends with Stu Stone, and sure, Stu, one of my favorite people. So I can guarantee you Stu Stone's going to be there. But we've talked about whether it's going to be bands, whether it's going to be, you know, meet and greets and card signings and memorabilia and anything that we can do to help facilitate this being an annual event and not just a one-time event.
Sure.
And that relies on me, the sponsors that we have. Hey, I know you pay X amount of dollars, but how would you like to present it? Because they have a database. And again, I might be wrong, but I know the word was either 60,000 or 600,000, their database.
Sure.
And I can't believe 60, because they fit 5,600, and they've had that at their events. And this, they got the Silver Knights. They got the indoor football. They had the G League. They got the volleyball now. They had, you know, 98 degrees, and, you know, they're having, you know, they had BTO and Starship a couple weeks ago. So it was all a bunch of different stuff, you know. So it's definitely interesting to, you know, see where we go with this, because there's a lot of time, but we know 11 months becomes 6 months very quickly, and then 6 months becomes 2 months. Because right, we have a House of Glory show, and it's like, hey, we got to finalize this stuff. This is like 2 weeks away now.
Right.
And we finally put out the first match, which is Amazing Red versus Chris Bay. Well, you should have out before this even airs. Title versus title. Santana versus Limelight.
Right.
But I also got confirmation Kenny King's going to be on the show on our side. Maserati's going to be on the show. Matt Vandegrift's going to be on the show. Bodie's going to be on the show. And then we'll work it to, you know, fill those final spots. And their tag team champions, the main event, who are extremely good, are going to be on the show. And they lost their women's champion, so I'm not sure. He told me who it was. But we got to get this all out before the weekend's over and really go full-blown for 2 weeks. So it just never ends, whatever it is.
Right. And on top of that, you know, you got the Future Shock and the SummerSlam party going on.
No, we moved Future Shock to Sunday. It's okay. With the heat and with the interest being, you know, lukewarm, you know, it's kind of hard to expect people to sit in the FSW arena for 6 hours instead right, of 2 hours.
Right.
So we moved Future Shock, and that's going to be Sunday at 2 p.m.
Okay. All right.
So at 2 p.m., it's early enough. Spend your day. You get to do a lot of good things.
Yep. No, that makes sense, and saves you a little bit of, you know.
Yeah, running around trying to get snacks and everything.
Yeah. Future Shock, what do we have in store on that show right now?
Unfortunately, we had a main event. We had Matt Vandegrift against Evan Daniels. But I guess there was miscommunication and Evan Daniels won't be there. So we got a big four-way tag, which could play into survival of the fittest, because there's only so many teams. So you got the Mariachi Montaña, we got Makeshift Chemistry, the Killer D's, and the new tag team. They're good friends. They've been wanting to tag Jeffrey Excellence and Adrian Rain. And, you know, Adrian Rain just came off a pretty good performance in the pre-show. And he's really put in a lot of time. He's the guy early on who struggled to where, you know, the head was big. Oh, I'm ready. You're not ready. Relax, Chief. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, calm yourself. And, you know, he was one of those guys. I basically called him the dumbest smart guy I know. Because brain-wise, you know, he goes to college. He's got a big career if wrestling didn't work out. But when it came to the common sense and the thing, man, how dumb can you be sometimes? And, you know, you forget when you're 59 and you get these kids and they're like early 20s, it's like, man, I swear I wasn't that dumb at 25. I'm sorry, but that's what I believe. But we've also learned that people are kind of coddled. The younger generation was coddled a lot more than we were.
Right.
You know, sure. Like if I cried or something because I couldn't go to something with my father or whatever, it's like, shut the fuck up, basically. You know. Now the words that he would use would be found very, very offensive. That's all I can say in that matter. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you got to understand, you know, and you can only lead a horse to water so long to see what's going on and then make them drink. And in reality, they have to fail on their own, because if they don't fail, then they think their way is the right way.
Sure.
And then when you put them in situations, hopefully they realize and they grow from the mistakes. And that's how somebody's going to be successful.
Right.
You know, it's like I tell these guys, if these two young green kids have a match, I'm like, yeah, you know, you could have 10 matches against each other. And probably two or three of them are going to be really good. And two or three of them are going to be okay. But also two or three of them are going to be really fucking bad. And the question becomes, when does the bad one come out? Does it come out in front of all the fans, or did it come out at a practice session where you could work on the mistakes? And generally what you'll do is you'll stop and restart. Well, you can't stop and restart when you're, you know, wrestling in front of people that paid money to see you.
Right.
And, you know, it's no different. It's like, okay, here's the FSW show at the school. Then there's the FSW casino show. Man, you got to be at that next level. Then we would have the FSW Mecca show. And if you're on the Mecca show, you got to be the cream of the crop of FSW. It's the same thing with the House of Glory. It may only be at the arena, but now we're having 7 or 8 matches. Oh, okay. Yeah, but another company's coming in. You have to cut that in half.
Right.
So I can tell you right now, all the younger kids are not going to be on that show at all. You know, I already named, you know, guys, Shogun, you know, there's people that have to be on that show. And it's going to be the same thing. I was talking with Shogun yesterday. We were talking about the anniversary for next year. And it's like, there's going to be a lot of guys who may have been on the last anniversary show in matches, or will be at No Escape in matches, but they're going to probably be in that Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal, because a middle of the road guy is going to be replaced by a Rhino, a Jeff Cobb, a Ricochet, a Hardy's, a Dudley, whoever we bring in. You know, we're not going to bring in 14 guys. It's just unaffordable. But you're going to try to bring 4 to 6 really big names, and then you're going to be sprinkling it in with a Tom Lawler, maybe a Tito, maybe Royce and Jarrell, whatever it is. We have a huge alumni to make it a show that we want the masses to see. And then when they see it, to be like, oh shit, these matches are as good as watching an AEW match or a WWE match or come when TNA's into town. You know, that's a show that, hey, how could we work out a deal to maybe bring in Mike Bailey or, hey, the Bullet Club come back for that night and bring in Ace. We got the relationships. Dolph Ziggler, you know, Mustafa Ali. You know, all these guys are on the table as long as you pay them. Right. So now it becomes like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And D'Lo has a connection. And Gabe has a connection. And we utilize all our connections to maybe get the two guys for $4,000 each instead of $7,500 each, you know, and make it worth the while, you know. And, you know, because to me, this is a bucket list thing, you know, performing at an arena of that size and getting it to where it's a partnership, not where it's like, okay, how much you giving me? Okay, you're good. And that's what they do with AEW. AEW doesn't want any influence from them. They pay the rental rate easily, and they do what they're going to do. With us, it's like, we're going to work together. Hey, I got this idea. Oh, I like that idea. Hey, he's got some ideas. They got databases. They got connections, as you said. Like, hey, we'll have Chance there. They can have this there. Who's to say they can't bring somebody from any of the major sports, even a Golden Knights guy? You know what I mean?
It's like, let's hope that they can't, because the Golden Knights at that point in June should be playing for a Stanley Cup. So I'll dash you there for a second.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I know you're about they got no shot of winning the Stanley Cup this coming year. I'll make that prediction right now. They kind of gutted the team with all their main guys. It's almost like a rebuilding phase.
It is, yeah.
And that, you know, that's fine. A rebuilding phase could mean they get to the first or second, through the first or second round. But the way the NHL is, it's like, it ain't 1 versus 16. Somehow it's like 5 versus 6 in the first round. And it's like, shouldn't 5 be against 12, like seedings? But it's based on the divisions. It's a whole weird concept of how they do the playoffs. You know, it's almost like, hey, in the NBA, the Celtics are going to play the number 3 seed in the first round, yet the number 9 seed's playing the number 11 seed. Like, how does this work? You know, it should be. You're the 16th best team, so you have to play the first best team. I don't know how. Because you came in second in the division, because the rest of the division sucks and all the good teams are in the other division.
It's new math.
You know, see, it's Generation Z stuff.
Right. You know, that's another interesting point too, with the WWE coming in, obviously, for WrestleMania, which will be a few months before. You've also are now looking at something that has been off the table for years that is starting to happen, and that is them allowing talent to work independent shows, you know, on a WrestleMania weekend. Something like this could also potentially open the door for, you know, a Zoe Stark to be available, right?
And that's going to be the conversations being had.
Right.
Plus, the fact of the matter is, with all those people in town, we also, in April 20th, we almost need to have what name guys that we're going to have for a show
in June.
2 months later, because the flyer needs to be done. And as great as a Danny Limelight and a Hammerstone are, when the WWE fans get that flyer, they need to see megastars that they are really aware of, you know, and that's the hurdle. And that's, you know, it's like we have literally 5 or 6 dates on hold. Okay. So I didn't understand it at first, but then when I reread it, I'm like, okay, I think this makes sense. because I thought he was putting them in the order. So it goes holds below, June 13th, sixth hold. Now I realize there's five other people in front of us who put a hold on the date, because a lot of places don't let you do six holds. But because it's so far away and it's a year away, June 14th, which I probably wouldn't do, wife's birthday. It's going to be the biggest show of our thing. That's probably not the best time to do it. But that's the fourth hold. And the 20th is the fifth hold. My personal preference is June 21st. I like to do it that, or the 28th. Well, we're lucky. The 21st and 28th were the second hold. So I think the only thing that's in front of us is a possible Nighthawks game. Sure. Because they'd have to be through the playoffs or possibly or something like that, or whatever it is. And then on the 27th, it's the fifth hold. So already we're looking at doing most likely a Saturday night and not a Sunday, which right. opens up for more people, could be possibly more out-of-town people. And Sunday's a little harder in that situation.
Right.
So now it's like, hey, well, maybe we have an after party that brings in some money somewhere. And maybe we have a golf outing. And who likes golf that we're bringing in and you know, play golf with D'Lo Brown or Godfather or whatever. And it's like, make it – the idea is to make the experience even better for the fan than if they did go to WrestleMania.
Right.
Because you can go to WrestleMania and you have a great time. But guess what? When you come to our show, you're going to be interactive with everybody. You're not going right. to pay $200 to go, say, cheese. Hey, nice meeting you. Nice meeting you, John right. Cena. And you're rushed out in 15 seconds. And all you did was shake a hand. Goodbye. And, you know, there's going to be thousands and thousands of people there for that. With us, you know, it's going to be interactive. And it's like, you know, my mind's racing for something that's happening 11 months from now. But I also need to make sure the show on Sunday is running well. The FSW House of Glory in August. We got Survival of the Fittest at the Casino in September. You know, possibly another joint show with CZW in October. And then the Luck of the Draw 30-Man Rumble show in November. And January, we'll be back to No Escape. And then where's March? Because we moved last year's No Escape to March because of the venue issues. So, right. you know, hey, maybe we're getting that FSW GCW 3. It's like, I'm trying to fill everything up.
Right.
And get it done. And trying to make contacts and be like, holy shit, that's fucking crazy price, you know? And that's one thing I've seen, man. Because there's so many companies and there's so many shows to work, there's always that company that's gonna pay that rate that you look at and think, man, that is so high, you know. And hey, more power to you if you can get that kind of money. But sure. when we were using big name guys, you know, the ceiling was a bit lower. And, you know, it's kind of hard when all of a sudden a guy who comes out of the Fed and all of a sudden he wants $2,000, yet he never really appeared on the main roster for more than a month and he was an NXT guy. You know what I mean? And it's right. like, oh, shit. Had that issue with somebody House of Glory was using. And it was like, hey, so you're using blah, blah, blah. Wow, $2,000. It wasn't even on the main roster.
Yeah.
Well, NXT guys. And it's and yeah. again, that's why having friends or acquaintances that you've worked with and did good things, and that's why I can always get a Kenny King and a Chris Bay and a Hammerstone and Royce and Jarrell and Tito and guys who've done the New Japan and Lawler, you know, where they're going to give me their rock bottom rate of what they want to work. It isn't like, you know, sitting there for days going back and forth negotiating pricing. You know, right. it's like, hey, can you do it for this? And the answer is yes or no. I can't do that to Mustafa Ali. He doesn't know me. Why is he working with me? You know, right. now if, and that's where it also comes into where I've done in the past. Hey, Kevin Cross, you got a contact for me? And he got me the contact for like an Elias and a Mustafa Ali, where I got the numbers for them and was able to reach out. And now you go from there, and hopefully you throw, hey, we train, you know, we train Cross, blah, 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 blah. Maybe he has good things to say to about us. So maybe the guy starts at a middle number instead of the high number.
Right.
Because, you know, we have the budget to do certain things. But if I have X amount of dollars put aside for four guys, and then I use that on two guys, guess what? I can't use the other two guys. So I got to try to make it work to where, you know, and I know certain people, and hey, you know, at TNA, when I walk in there, you know, I'm friendly with a ton of guys. Like, you know, like I didn't even know in the beginning. It'll be like, hey, I'd walk up to Rhino. Hey, Joe, how's it going? Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, and it's like, so you see him, you talk to him. Even Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth, I guess, you know, great conversation. This was his price. And, you know, same thing when I met Cardona at GCW. I looked at his price and I was like, wow, that's crazy. But I look at it now and it's like, wow, it's better than a lot of guys. And he's really done tons of shit to where he's a star on the indies.
Right.
Yeah. And when I saw him at the Silver Nugget for GCW, here's a comparison. At TNA, he didn't have a line. At GCW, he had a line of 100 people.
Yeah.
Because he played into that gimmick there with the, you know, the hardcore king or whatever. And he was the right guy at the right time, and he made it. Jinder Mahal. Hey, I'd love to have Jinder Mahal wrestle Shogun. Be awesome for Shogun. You know I can get, I already got the connection with Brett at GCW. I hit him up. Hey, I see you got Jinder. How much? And he's like, oh, you got to go through the agent. It all depends. Right. So it's like, I guarantee you he's going to work for less at GCW. Because he's going to make his money on his merch. He's also going to get booked six times over a month from the company. Of course it should be less than doing just a one-off.
Right.
You know? So it's like, man, now it's just like my job is to put together a worksheet of total costs. He's going to put together a worksheet of total costs. And we're going to try to meet in the middle on that. And then I got to go through a list of, hey, who's available? Who do you want? Hey, we're going to have this huge meet and greet. We're going to try to do a card and collectible show. So that's when you reach out to the Greg the Hammer Valentines and the Sabus to appear at these things.
Right.
And then you hope by that time, a Ricochet, for example. Hey, that would be awesome. You know, Ricochet worked for FSW. He worked for me at IWF. He lives in town. As a matter of fact, he's going to be training at the school today. I got word. So when this ends, I'm basically going to go over there. Hey, what's up, buddy? Just to touch base to see where he's at. Like, hey, do you want to do a seminar? Hey, I know you're going to be steep. You know he's going to be in the same range of a Mustafa Ali. Right. But there's no flights. He may work with me. We have a good relationship. Maybe he knocks $1,000 off. Maybe we'll work something with the meet and greet. And wow, it'd be awesome if the first show Ricochet did other than say a New Japan or AEW was FSW.
Future Shock on Sunday. That's what I'm hearing.
Sunday, he does a run in and he lays out Ricky Tenacious.
I think Ricochet might do that for free.
You know, he could.
Anyone getting the opportunity to lay out Ricky for
actually
free?
At Future Shock, for that to happen, I would let it to happen whoever was the highest bidder and was going to pay me. So it could be Raw Reese, it could be John Trademark, you know, I don't know. Whoever wants to be.
Mariachis might want to start pooling that money together.
You know, they better get paid in advance for some of those gigs that they're working on. You know, get those deposits and then slide it into my Zelle account.
You know, you talked about price going up. You just had a title change happen this weekend that might drive the price of Cody up a little bit here, and being the new Nevada State champion.
Well, you're going to have to hold off on that because we are, let's just say, not very happy with how things went down in that match. And, you know, putting together all the facts and let's just say we're going to be having an announcement in hopefully by the end of the weekend, because there was a lot of shenanigans, as you could say,
right?
And we're going back and reviewing all the footage. So let's just say there's an investigation going on about the ending of that match. Not real happy with the way things went down.
Wouldn't this kind of situation call for an ex-commissioner to kind of get involved, maybe?
Well, being that he isn't, let's just say, involved with the company in reality, I think the best person to do that, to make that decision right now, is me. And I don't want to be the commissioner, but I'm the owner who runs the shows.
Sure.
So let's just say if we do this again next week, that I'll have more information.
The rest of the show, what'd you think? Did it live up to your expectations?
You know, I had to handle a lot of stuff. I didn't watch a lot of it. I watched bits and pieces. But from everything I saw and heard, it was extremely solid, which I knew it was going to be. I was very happy from what the pre-sale was to what it ended up with. It ended up being far better than I thought, which, as I told you, the arena has become a hit or miss in some cases.
Yeah.
But the last two shows where we weren't expecting as much, all of a sudden, you know, it seems like for a while what we were doing is by putting it on the Eventbrite, we would sell the tickets and a lot of the regulars. But since I've always offered, like, hey, you know, you don't need to pay the Eventbrite fees. Right. You know, there are regulars. I'm not making the money from it. So it's like, hey, this is what you can do. So a lot of them decide to, you know, show up the day of and buy the tickets. And it saves them, you know, it's a party of four. They're saving $20,
yeah,
you know, on $20 and $30 tickets. So why wouldn't you do it? So they do, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit, yeah, wow, look at that. It ended up being relatively good, and, you know, it didn't weed out. So we did seven matches, you know. I was told the sixth man was really, really good. You know, Moz was with Alice Blair, and that seemed to go well, and AJ did very well in a singles match against Damian Drake.
Yep.
And so it's like, you look at the card, well, that card should have been solid. You know, you got Vandegrift and Bodie, and Fox gets to work with those guys. And yep, you got Damian Desire, who's good, and Watson. Even the faction match. And I, you know, just watching Kenny, man, you know, that's why he has been a major league wrestler for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, when you saw him browbeating the faction in that promo, it was not an indie trying to get through it promo. This was a pro, and if that promo was on AEW or TNA, you'd be ready for that, you know. Right. And it was solid. And it was crazy because the fact of the matter was, even fucking Braxton was kind of cheered in that match. That's how much they don't like Devin Reno and Class.
Right.
Like, I swore I'd never see the day that they'd kind of be getting behind Braxton. Like, Ice had that run. Ice was a likable guy, you know? And in reality, the faction lifted him up, but he really lifted up the faction. So, like that, an Ice Williams can be cheered. But a guy like Braxton, who's kind of a douche, you know, it is what it is. Definitely not one of the most liked persons in the locker room. It is what it is. Not everybody's liked. You know, you have to work with people in every facet of life. You have to work with people you don't like.
Sure. Yeah.
And Braxton's usually high on that list. Like, what do I got today? Braxton, fuck. It's just not an enjoyable experience. What can I tell you? I'm just telling you. I never had to wrestle him. I'm just telling you, like, he'd go very braggadocious. It's like, you know, you would think he was Ice Williams and held the title for a year. Yeah. Like, the only reason he won the Nobles title was because Kenny immobilized Bodie.
Well, you know, but he did carry that briefcase around for a year, man. You know,
he's got experience. He used to carry the bags of Ice Williams, so he was used to carrying things.
Overall, though, man, the growth of of Watson, the growth of Fresco, and Braxton, and Ice, and then having Kenny's influence around, it's just remarkable what those guys have done.
Ice was a guy who was part of FSW. He technically became the leader of that group, but he was just a step above those guys. Kenny's right. In a whole nother league, you know, and with Kenny, these guys can get to that next level because of his mentorship. Yeah. And again, as a trainer, Kenny has helped a lot of people. You know, at the end of the day, Kenny's about Kenny, but he's not gonna align himself with somebody that's gonna bring him down. So if these guys don't get it together, he'll boot their asses.
Right.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, it was weird because Braxton kind of put these guys together, but then he stepped to the side when Ice kind of took over. But Kenny can wipe the slate clean and have his own faction and do whatever he wants if he doesn't feel that these guys are putting forth the effort that made Kenny a guy from losing it tough enough and not giving up to being the most successful tough enough guy other than John Morrison. Nobody's as successful as Kenny.
Miz. That's the other guy.
I'm not even counting that. Miz was hired from doing the MTV show and being the host of SmackDown. I'm talking about, like, legitimately going on Tough Enough. Yeah. I'm talking, like, the first three seasons. Not the one with Steve Austin later on either.
So you're saying Maven wasn't successful. Come on, Joe. In fact, Maven there was
successful for 3 years. Kenny's been in the business for 30.
There's your match. There's a match for June next year. Maven versus Kenny.
Yeah, he better get him. He needs more listeners on his podcast than he's getting on my show. You know, Harry's doing well with that podcast and stuff. Yeah. And Maven had a run to where he was successful, but so did Nydia. They were all short term. And the thing was, they were gifted contracts.
Right.
Kenny had to start at the bottom,
right,
and go work independent shows, catch some liking from Gabe at FIP.
Yeah.
Gabe brings him to Ring of Honor, and it takes off from there. Kenny could have done what everybody else did who didn't win the contract, and that was basically leave and quit the business. So to me, John Morrison's the only guy who was higher than Kenny from the Tough Enough, because Kenny had to put in all the work and really earn everything he got.
Yeah.
So
Kenny versus Morrison. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, we did in Mesquite.
Oh, that was a Mesquite match. Ooh.
Yeah, that was the very first main event in Mesquite. And John got off recently off WWE television. And he wasn't conditioned to put the local guy over. And he knew Kenny because Kenny had tried out or whatever on the first one, because Kenny was the second one.
Right. Right.
And they knew each other pretty well, you know. And nope, John wasn't having it.
Be interesting.
But as he grew older, you know, he tapped out in the middle of the ring to cross. So yeah, that shows how much, you know, even to this day, you know, guys like Morrison and Cage, they were the ones who put in the word at TNA, and that's how Cross got in there. And yeah, it's all about connections. Same thing with Chris Bay. That's why, besides wrestling, that's why John Morrison's one of my favorite people. Yeah. You know, he's the guy that isn't like, oh, I might lose my spot. But, you know, Brian Cage, same thing. Those guys were like, hey, man, this is the guy you need to sign. And, you know, if you don't believe me for their like for Chris Bay, go watch the Mecca Grand Championship match with Brian Cage, John Morrison, and Chris Bay, who was very, very young in the business at that time. And yeah, if you watch that match, you think Chris Bay is the biggest star in that match. That's how good those guys wanted to make Chris look.
Yeah.
And, you know, that doesn't always happen with veterans who've been in through the Fed numerous times, very protective of what they are. And there's a few of those real good guys in the business. You know, just heard from another one of my favorites, Lance Hoyt, the other day. Like, hey, if you need a seminar, you know, I'm willing to work with you. Lance Hoyt versus Shogun. Like, I love Lance Hoyt. Like, I think it's a crime with doing. You put Jake the Snake to Roberts with Lance Hoyt, and he can't be higher than a low mid-card guy? Like, really?
No. But, and everyone knows the realization of, you know, the fact that a certain someone who runs a stat company doesn't know what to do with big guys.
And, you know, it was like even – and ain't like, oh, they probably just doing that to Lance. They did that with a guy that they created that nobody knew in Wardlow and made him a guy on the fringe of being a heavyweight champion to just being not on TV and just another guy again, and rotating that belt with Orange Cassidy. And it was like the mystique of what you – like, it shocked me. Right? Like, I would say, hey, you made Will Rude, Will Hobbs – you know, a bigger deal than Brian Cage. It was shocking to me. Then all right, of a sudden, as this guy was reaching the stars, Will didn't do anything anymore. And it's just like, these are your homegrown guys. Like, did it take Jungle Boy to get hit by CM Punk to make him a main guy? It's like, you know, I don't know. And maybe, you know what? I know how tough it is, and I'm not even in near the same league, obviously. But I know how tough it is when you have 35 guys and you're trying to work in 20 spots.
Right.
What happens when you have 100 guys? It's like we're talking about, hey, Willie Mack, local guy. I'm like, man, he hasn't been seen on Ring of Honor in forever.
I think the last time he worked was when AEW was, I think maybe the Super Bowl weekend. I think they used
February, him. And I remember talking to Willie, and it was like 2 hours before showtime. Like showtime. Like, who you working? I don't know yet. And the Ring of Honor taping was supposed to be after, and then they did it before. So he had to go on and didn't even know who his opponent was probably 45 minutes before his match.
Yeah. All right, so that brings up an interesting question. Seeing a little chatter on the internet, no names or anything like that, but how is it with social media? You know, it used to be in the day, if guys had problems with promoters, all that stuff was whispers backstage, whispers around the community, whispers around the area, around, you know, the state. But now it's pretty public. Is it smart for guys to speak up and speak out against promoters? Or are you essentially putting your own nail in the coffin? Because it's such an uncomfortable thing to see when, you know, you're talking about youth again versus, you know, looking at it from an older perspective of what can you potentially be creating and costing yourself. But then again, is, you know, certain truths inevitable to come out? And, you know, is that part of what the internet is used for now, is calling people out? I mean, it just seems like there was a lot of uncomfortable stuff going on this past week.
Yeah, you know, without a doubt. And, you know, I've been doing this way longer than every other promoter here in Las Vegas. And there's always situations that we've had. I've experienced what I'm seeing. And right. People have disagreements on certain things.
Right.
I always, to everybody involved, knows the breakdown of things. Now, issues happen because I believe this way. Like, I'm the one who runs the training in town.
Right.
Everybody kind of left. FSW is the trainees. So right. We have this slippery slope. Okay. So you're paying X amount of dollars to train. Okay. Well, now you start getting on shows. Well, now I start dropping your rate. Then the question becomes about pay. Well, if you're paying $250 and now I'm charging you a $75 gym fee, as you've progressed down to $200 to $150 to $175 to $50, whatever.
Right.
The thing becomes how the other person looks at it. Because I've learned through the years that wrestler A is not happy, even if it's a minute amount of money, that they're not getting an envelope. Even though I just dropped their rate $50 and they wouldn't have gotten the $50 to be on the show, they would rather have an envelope. So moving forward, what I've done is making guys like a Bodie, who was working his way down, to be paid, but he also to pay the gym fee. Because I used to try to do the wash and, hey, I'm not going to pay you. You work the school show for free because the school show's small. You know, we're paying only X amount of dollars. Okay. But I tell you, this is what I feel is going to work best. Now, right. Your response can be, oh, I think that's bullshit. Fuck you. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. But the thing is, if I tell you I'm going to pay you $50 and then say, hey, bro, it was light. Here's 20. Now, I don't have a problem with somebody calling out a promoter in that situation.
Right.
The thing is, all the people involved either have or do work for me. But right. We have an agreement that's different than the other person's agreement. Okay. So if my agreement with you is I'm not paying you, bro. You want to take pictures, but you're going to have access to my guys. The guy, Justin, from California, one of the best photographers.
Yes.
Hey, Joe, is it cool? I was thinking I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be going back east. I'd love to do a shoot for you guys. But the shoot is for him to make money. So what does he do? He's going to charge people who want to get professionally done photos. Okay, so this is how Justin works. But Justin's going to come to my show, and Justin is going to take photos. He's also going to give me photos of the guys. But he's not going to ask me for any money. But I'm going to give him the access to my show, and he's going to do it because he is going to make money. Right. So he's okay with that. But if I said, hey, Justin, would you like to come and do some stuff at the show? I'm going to give you $100 and then say, hey, bro, it really kind of suck. Here's 20. He has a legitimate beef. Now, yeah. I don't know the full circumstances other than, well, it was money issues. I can't believe it was big money issues. Okay. Right. Because I know with the camera guys and the guys who film my show and what we kind of throw them, and right, wrong, or indifferent. If they went out and got a union job, they would be paid well more. But everybody who's doing this is doing it because they love wrestling. So right. All they want to do is not be disrespected. And right. People have felt disrespected. Hey, I've had situations. Tito and Che, all these guys. Hey, they were coming in for little to no money. And all they do is have a conversation. Hey, Joe, any way you could throw us another $25, covers gas, crap pricing. Now, my decision becomes, do I think you're valuable enough? Sure. I said that to Royce, Jarrell, the Scum. Everybody started at a number. And then that number continually went up based on the value.
Right.
But you can't go out and say, hey, I went out and spent all this money and I lost money, so sorry, I'm not going to pay you. That's not the business. That was always my pet peeve. Like, I used to have issues with Sin back in the Freak Show days, okay? And the deal was, when I started my business, hey, Rocky, I needed money. Hey, you want to come in? You got to put in X amount of dollars. We go do a show at the Silver Nugget. I'm going to pay the Scum X amount of dollars to drive from Reno. Do you think we made money on the first 3 or 4 Silver Nugget shows? We had to pay for the room. The idea of a business is it takes time to make money. And a lot of promoters want to come in with no money and basically run a show and just assume it's going to pay for everybody. And then when it doesn't matter. My envelopes for a casino show are made. I go to the bank. I pull out the money. If there's not enough money in the bank because I just paid rent, I have to take money out of my own pocket. And if I don't get that money back, oh, fucking well, hopefully we get it back with students. Hopefully we get it back at the next show. Right. Hopefully. You know, I laugh, hey, the big man of Vegas. It's like, yeah, I wish I had like 1/10 of the fucking dude's money, or we made 1/10 of what WWE made it. Myself and almost everybody involved is doing it because they love it. Now, if they can maximize what they could make from it, 1,000%. But Danny Limelight, sometimes it's like he doesn't feel like driving. And when he gets to come to a school show, because it gets better at the casino show, doesn't really warrant him taking that time of his life to do it. But he does it because, like, Vegas wants to be on FSW. He knows he can get good matches. It's good exposure. He's got footage. Everybody's got to look at the reason why they do things.
Right.
And there's guys that we've been involved with who felt, hey, this number I can't do. And it's like, well, I can kind of do this. And they're like, well, I need this. And it's like, hey, oh, well, it's nice having you. But because that also rocks the apple cart. Because now I'm paying you as a mid-card guy more than I'm going to try to pay a Chris Bay or Hammerstone. That ain't happening. So those are my benchmarks.
Right.
And you have to feel what's necessary. Now, the difference is all these guys we're talking about are my guys because we trained them.
Right.
So when a wrestler goes to some other place, as I've tried to tell them a million times, you ain't working for free for me, even though you're not being paid.
Right.
But when another company in town says, I want to use you on the show, they are booking you. So when they are booking you, they have to pay you. I don't care if it's 10 bucks. If you feel that you're willing to do it because it's a good opportunity for you for $10, then you do it. But I've also said, don't work guys that are not trained very well. Don't work for a company that all they're looking to do is put their guys over an FSW guy. Have value in what you are. You can't be my number three tag team and you're losing to a tag team somewhere else that would be my number seven tag team, because now you've made my fourth, fifth, and sixth tag team lower than that tag team that they're better than.
Right.
You know, I remember one time it was Bodie, for example, and they booked Bodie. He got to work Allen Angels. In what mind, if they paid him $2, would I say you shouldn't have done that? No, it's a great opportunity to do it.
Right.
You know, and nobody wants that advice, unfortunately, a lot of guys. But they're the ones that do, and they're the smart ones. They'll say, hey, Joe, what do you think? And it's like, okay, well, what are you getting out of it? Who are you wrestling? Right. You know, the idea to get better is when you're an FSW, if you're a young guy, you're generally always going to be wrestling guys better than you. And you're probably going to lose. So I don't want to get you hear shit about fucking wins and losses. You know, Bret the Threat, big example. Like, he came in hard around the edges. He had his issues. But as time grew, it was like, he doesn't care if he's losing to Royce Isaacs. He wanted to get the match against Royce Isaacs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. I don't care. I got Jeff Cobb. I don't care if I'm losing. And that's the mentality you have to make yourself better.
Yep.
Work with those people. You know, Matt Vander came in. He wins against, he got Kenny King, he got TJP, he got these guys. We're trying to put him on the rise. Jay Vidal, we're putting him on the rise. You know, you're going to win, you're going to lose. Nobody remembers tomorrow. It's like, oh, well, we got to do this quirky finish. I had a young kid tell me, he was like, at Future Shock. I mean, I'm sorry, it was at the last show. Oh, any way we could do a weird, I'm like, dude, nobody gives a fuck. Just lose the fucking match. And do it well. I don't care that you got people coming to the show for you.
Right.
You're lucky you're on the show. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Now, when it goes to the other thing, you know, it's public knowledge. Wrestler who wrestled for us, he had issues creatively, blah, blah, blah. He heard some stuff. And now, all of a sudden, everybody piles in and talks about things that probably had nothing to do with the situation.
Right.
Okay. You know, I've heard some different stories. I can't confirm them. People talk. You hear things. You know, you can find, you know, it's like the Trump thing. Oh, he's the greatest guy in the world. Dana White puts him over like he's a god, you know. And other people, he's the biggest piece of shit in the fucking world. Oh, fuck that motherfucker. I wish he was the one. I wish they would have hit him in the head. You know what I mean? It's like everybody has their opinion. It is what it is. But because of social media, now everybody knows the opinion.
Right.
And people like, dude, I don't care. That has nothing to do with what I am trying to present to you. So now the issue becomes, hey, me and you aren't getting along. You know, you were the champ. This is what I'm kind of looking to do. I'm not really cool with it. Like, I talk with my guys all the time. Everybody has ideas. Some people always have ideas to put themselves over. Some people always have ideas just for a good story. Hey, you know, like I always say about Remy, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I always listen to Remy's ideas. It's like, he gives me a million of them. I listen to fucking 10. You give me four ideas about yourself and I use none of them. So yeah, obviously I'm using his idea over yours, because his idea is usually about somebody else and what he thinks I should do with Brett the Bread or Don the King or whoever the fuck it is. It's not right. about putting himself over. Occasionally he'll throw a pitch, he'll have an idea, you know, whatever it is that involves himself. But, you know, right. guys that have been with me, Cody, even an Ice, hey, ideas. I need ideas. I'm 59 yeah. years old. I got ideas, but there's also fresh ways of looking at it. I'm looking at it, and it's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, hey, what if we did this, this, and this? Instead of, because I don't have a booking committee, I'm the right. fucking, and that's how it's going to be as I'm running the show. Okay. Right. But I'm also, when I'm talking to Kenny, I'm not blowing off Kenny's idea. And as I've said a million times, if me and you got an idea and I like my idea better, and you're going to get to the same place pretty much that I'm going to get to, I'm going to go with your idea because I feel you're going to want to show that that idea was as good as yours, and I'm going to give the maximum effort to get there. And just like I've done things where it's like, man, that fucking didn't work out the way I wanted it. Well, it also happens when you had the idea and it's like, fuck, my idea would have worked way better. But that is life. It isn't like, oh, never listening to you again because that one idea you had was the fucking shit. Because it is. And everybody has certain ideas that just don't work.
Yeah.
Within what you're doing, no different than a new student coming in. Oh man, I got this character. And I'm like, okay, hang on, bro. You were 12 years old when you thought of this idea. You're 23 now. How about you learn how to wrestle, then think if that character might be good for you? Yeah. Because it's not necessarily transcending 10 years later to that now you're a grown up that it's going to work.
Yeah.
Going back, we've had issues. Guy owed somebody money. I always tell Chris Bay's story. It wasn't about Chris Bay. And these guys are beefing in the back because some money was owed. And I'm like, how much does he owe you? Guy's like, $40. And Chris was right there. So he loves telling this story. Because I don't even remember that part of the story. And it was, the story is, I pull out $40. And I give the guy the $40. And it's like, now shut the fuck up and get out of here. It's $40. And it's like, now you, who are a wrestler, I'm going to get your $40 by giving you 20 less for two shows and we're even. Yep. Like, get the fuck out of here. You know how many people owe me money that I wish that I didn't loan? Whether it's $100 or waiting on another promoter, because I know it. I've got promoters I could blast that didn't fucking pay the full amount to use the facility. Some that I'm even close with. So it's you try to figure it out. I'm not going to go on Facebook. Hey, this motherfucker, try to figure it out. Okay, this guy doesn't want to pay you. Okay, then you don't work for him.
Yeah.
If he didn't pay you the first time, why'd you let him go six times without paying? And again, I don't know the full story.
Right.
But all I know is if you want to call a promoter out that you've tried everything you could, I had a guy who was a student, paid the money, then he fucking went on PayPal and then he fucking charged it back. And the bank took back, 3 months worth of training. At the time, he was probably paying $150 a month, $450. And then he was yapping about shit and then he wouldn't fucking do it. So I fucking put him on blast. And, why'd you have to go on Facebook about it? I'm like, because you didn't respond and you took my money that you trained for, bro.
Right.
Oh, we could have worked. No, we couldn't work it out because you made no effort to work it out.
Right.
And if it's your last possible way of doing it, no problems with it. If it's your first way, and then the people are going on about this huge drama, and I was just reading it, and it was like, I didn't think it was that huge drama. There's a lot of times where, people don't do what they're supposed to do. Hey, a guy cancels on me on the show to go work another show. It's like, I'm not going to put him on blast. I'm just not going to use him. It happened. You could still train. You could still pay. He works with us now. The grace period's over, but it was, I advertised you for the show. You accepted the booking. You're a student. You're paying to train, so you weren't being paid for this spot. But you were doing it because you got the reduced rate because you would be used on a show. And then you hit me up either the night before or the day of. I think it was probably the night, late night before. And it's like, oh, hey, Joe, sorry, I'm not going to be able to make the show tomorrow. I got another booking. Got another booking. When? Oh, they hit me up because two of their guys canceled. Oh, so you weren't even one of their choices, but somebody canceled. And now it's an out-of-state gig where he's getting $50. And it's like, but are you really getting $50? You know, you had to pay for the trans. You probably had to buy your sandwich, whatever. It's like, and I remember the response. You know, business is business. I'm like, you're right. Business is business. So you took a booking and pulled out because somebody was going to give you a few more dollars. So right. Now I'll use you when I need you, which, of course, I'm a stubborn New Yorker. That's going to be fucking never. Because why would I trust you to take the next booking? Right. You made your choice. Business is business. Right. And in a lot of times, like with me, because I'm usually with these guys all the time, everybody knows Joe lets people slide and dues. Joe lets people slide. And that's the thing. You're going to have beef with me, but when you didn't pay dues, you didn't complain about it. Right. But now it's like, oh, well, you know, he didn't pay me. And it's like, right, wrong, indifferent. There's you. This story's this big. It's not this big. But right. What's being put out is this big. So you don't really know the circumstances of what the thing is, because people want to put somebody on blast and they want to blast them, but they don't want to give all the details. Right. So now it just looks like, oh, he's a piece of shit. You know, there's being cheap and there's being a piece of shit.
Right.
Now, if this person that works for you and this person and this person and this person always get what you're going to pay them, and you're playing favoritism, that becomes a problem.
Right.
You know, I'd be more than happy to be the judge holding court on these situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd have a jury of, you know, the Kenny Kings of the world, because some of this stuff is petty.
Yeah.
Not necessary. And it's like, there's no drama. The fans don't give a flying fuck. They're coming to whatever show they want to come to. They don't care. If it's something that it's assault, if it's, you know, any kind of shit like that, and right. People are grooming, you know, yeah, we handled it. And when we had to let people go, it was because of that reason. We would put that out.
Right.
And we would put out the name and, hey, they're not going to be with us any longer, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But when it's a menial money issue and it involves that, it's like, come on, guys, let's just try to settle it. You don't have to work for them. You know, as I say to my guys, no, I don't love you working for promotions in a month in Las Vegas. It makes your value to me slim to none. And look at the guys, the Chris Bays, the Hammerstones, Danny Limelight. You look at a lot of these guys, they don't look to work another show in Tampa.
Right.
Okay. I got a ton of guys. Like, I'll throw out the name, Chris Nasty. Chris Nasty's awesome. Love Chris Nasty. But he works all the other shows consistently. It's hard for me to put him on a show to take away from somebody who's going to be there because, hey, you know, he's a main player over there. I was hit up by the promoter, like, he had a big match coming up. And he was in, like, a multi-man for me because I needed a really good guy. And, hey, Joe, I'm going to be in town. And it's never – and I specify it to him just like, hey, Damian Desire, you work in other places? He chose, hey, Joe, if you book me – let me know. I'll stop working everywhere because I want to focus on FSW. Okay. Right. Now I need a no limits guy. He's got charisma. He's a good talent. He's choosing not to work anywhere. I can incorporate him on there. I'm not telling anybody not to work anywhere else. And I'm not saying I'm never going to use you, but I have enough of my own guys that are wrestling all over town. I don't need one of the guys that kind of, hey, I'm going to be in town because I'm working in that show. Can I work your show? And it's like, in most cases, unless I have a spot, I'm going to bump somebody. Just like you're loyal to you, I got to be loyal to my guy. And like I said, I told Chris Nasty this before, but I still used him 2 months ago because I had a spot that I thought he would fit and be good in, because he's extremely good. He's very talented. But I have a lot of very talented guys. I'm running a House of Glory FSW show that Gregory Sharp can't be at.
Yep.
Okay. Hammerstone can't be at. And Jacob Austin Young can't be at. Yet, I still have Chris Bay on the show. I still got Kenny King on the show. I still got my champion Danny Limelight on the show. And I still got picks of Matt Vandergriff, who works New Japan. I got picks of, I could call Royce and Jarrell. If they're available, they're going to work the show. That talent roster is so fucking deep that it's okay that I don't have that three.
Right.
For our fans watching the show, I had to have Amazing Red and Santana on the show, or a combination of Gringo Loco or whoever else they're using. But if I don't have Amazing Red and Santana on this show, it's not FSW versus House of Glory. It's just an FSW show.
Yeah.
Because as good as the main event is, it's kind of like sending Bodie or even a Gregory Sharp to New York to wrestle for House of Glory. Nobody's going to be like, oh shit, I got to buy tickets. That 17-year-old Bodie kid's on the show. No, they would buy a ticket because, hey, Chris Bay and Ace Austin is wrestling the main event. They're tag team champions. Kenny King is coming in to wrestle Amazing Red. And Matt Vandergriff's going to wrestle Gringo Loco. Well, it's more about Gringo Loco. And it's like, oh, yeah, he's on New Japan. This guy's pretty good. So, you know, it is a really, really difficult process.
Yeah.
And there's guys you like. And again, people like to twist it. Now, I've never told anybody where they can and cannot work.
Right.
I explain to them the realities of things.
Right.
You know, I know Booker. It's like, hey, you want to work the other company in Houston, that's cool, but I'm not going to put you in a storyline. I'm not going to put you in a situation, because I cannot be told that one of my guys can't lose.
Right.
Because he's the champion over there.
Yeah.
And same thing happened with Bodie, and he won the No Limits title. And I'm trying to be protective of my championship. Well, he goes down the street 5 days later and he loses to Bateman. Not a shocker. Bateman should always beat Bodie the majority of times. Bateman is a 15, 20-year veteran who's fantastic, and I use him all the time too. I would just prefer that that match didn't happen, because now the luster of my champion is now given away over there, and it did absolutely nothing for my company or me.
Seems like Bateman has a lot of interesting things going on with luster and championships and influences.
Hey, you know, he was a guy, he didn't live in Vegas.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to use Bateman on a show? I don't not use Bateman because he's wrestling over there. He's part of a major faction with Cody.
Right.
So, you know, don't twist it of, oh, I don't allow or I don't want. I need to be protective of my shit, just like you're protective of your shit.
Right.
But the difference is, most of the guys that you're using are my guys. Right. So that's why I went at Chris Nasty, who you kind of use over there, and you kind of built him as kind of one of your main guys over there. Yeah, on my show, I'd rather not use him because he may not be in as positive situations of wins and losses, which the wrestlers all know, or the good ones, like he knows.
Right.
Losing doesn't mean shit. But the promoter over there who's trying to build something, he's going to fucking lose again over at FSW, you know? So it makes it easier because there's some of them that I have. Obviously, Ricky runs shows. I have a good relationship with Ricky. I use him all the time, you know? And some of them I don't have great relationships with. And some of them I used to, and I don't anymore.
Right.
But it's like, you're always going to do your own thing regardless of what Joe wants. And I understand that. So it goes full circle with everything. But, you know, always remember, you're using my guy, I'm not using your guy.
Right.
So, yeah. When you're saying, hey, I want to use this person, and, you know, it's an over baby face, and hey, we're going to try to turn her heel over there. And it's like, well, you're confusing the audience because a good amount of the people that come to my show in the front row are going to go to your show in the front row because they love wrestling. They're not like, well, hey, I'm only going to go to the FSW show. Some do. Just like some are saying, I'm only going to the casino shows. And it doesn't matter. They don't come to the arena shows. So everybody has to pick and choose what they're doing. And it does get it gets crowded. So now you're expecting people whose income maybe only affords them three shows. Right. Well, hey, Brandy loves AJ. If AJ's wrestling over there, she's going to that show. Now, if he's not on my show, she may not come to that one and miss it. You know, she has her podcast. She sponsors. Appreciate it immensely. So does AJ. So she wants to help out whenever she can on whatever shows he is. Just to make a few bucks, I'm not putting AJ on the House of Glory show just because I'm going to make a few dollars out of the deal.
Right.
So she may not make that show. Okay, but in the past, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, when pretty much we were the only ones running consistently every single month, guess what? People weren't missing as many shows because they still got their two shows a month. Hey, we're good for two or three shows. Hey, Gregory Sharp's wrestling Mike Bailey over there. Shit, I'd like to see that match. It's a great match. Yeah. I was trying to do that match. You know, but now I don't really want to do that match anymore because I've seen that match happen somewhere else locally. And that's also the thing about matchups. And hey, you know, one of my teams is working somewhere else. And it's like, hey, you know, it'd be really nice if the two teams that I trained fucking wrestled each other at my fucking show the first time instead of over there. Now, am I wrong? Maybe some people say I am. I don't believe so. I think I've given you all the opportunities in the world that if we're going to do this match, it should happen on my show. If it happens that down the line, great. But we're working an angle here, and you're proceeding to take this angle and do it over there too. What the fuck is that?
It's exactly what I look at with AEW doing a War Games match on free television. It's like, here, we're going to just give this away, right? And it's like, you could make money off of that. Why are you just, you know, are you doing something that isn't as beneficial to the long term of a business and branding. And but again, it's, you know,
yeah, it's a lot and of that, when you're in charge, do whatever you like and whatever you feel is best. You know, I look at a million things WWE does and be like, man, that's fucking dumb. You know what I mean? And it's like, am I wrong? Maybe.
You've never said a negative thing about WWE and how they used Karrion Kross.
Never. No, not at all. Hey, SummerSlam this weekend. We could have two FSW champions, now WWE champions. If they would ever give Zoe Stark the tag belt, shit, we could have had like a trifecta.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. And someone who's appeared in a WWE or in a FSW ring, Jacob Fatu, has a chance at the tag title.
Oh yeah, that's right. There you go.
So
Jacob Fatu, or Cross.
Yeah. Who doesn't have a match on SummerSlam, does he?
Well, hopefully maybe they do a pre-show with him and Xavier Woods or something.
There's
a storyline. At least they're giving him an opportunity to talk.
Yeah. No, and you know, and I think that, you know, I think one of the things that we tend to forget is that that's the ups and downs of, you know, when Vince used to do it, he'd bury you. And then you'd have to work your way back up. Now you don't get buried. It's just juggled into how things are told, which gives you the opportunity. And as long as you perform, they're getting the chances. I mean,
and they're getting paid very well.
That's the biggest thing.
So it's hard to rock the boat. And you see, the ones that rock the boat feel that they can go out and die Jack, you know, they chose not to sign him. Yeah, you're upset about it, but now you're going out there and you're making good money off of very, very little main roster run where you were under a mask so nobody saw your face. Right. And, you know, he's a guy I'd like to possibly use. I meant to hit up Cross and it was like 4:45 on Monday, which is 7:45, and I'm like, oh shit, it's Monday Night Raw. Cross is going to be on it. Probably not the best time to hit him up. Like, hey, bro, can you get me Dijak's number?
I'm at craft service, sure.
Yeah. In the past, he would because he wasn't doing anything.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's also, again, you know, you're also seeing some of these guys who have come through FSW's doors, you know, get an opportunity on NXT.
AEW World Champion. I've used on multiple occasions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jungle Boy. We used them on multiple occasions.
Yeah. Between NXT, TNA, AEW, and WWE, you know, all those programming, now you're seeing, I think you're finally seeing what that grooming was. For a decade, you know.
Go watch the last IWF show we did and go pick and see how many people aren't on major shows.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that kind of gets lost too is that influence that Lucha Underground had for a lot of these guys getting that TV time that they had not necessarily gotten at that point. And so between what they were doing at like FSW or in Cali, and then getting that Lucha Libre, you know, for the Lucha Underground, you know, TV time and the storylines and what they were doing there really kind of, you know, then advanced. And then you got that chance for the guys to get to TNA and have a nice run there. And then, you know, now they're all on major shows. It's crazy.
That last show, Cross was in the pre-show match with Evan Daniels. Crazy enough.
Why is Evan Daniels not a star yet? Come on.
Hey, I had him ready to go against Vandergriff this weekend, man. And then I got the message yesterday. Oh, it was a miscommunication. It's like, fuck. All right, I think we better go because my battery's down to almost nothing.
Yep. Yeah, and you got to go over see Mr. O'Shea at the training facility. So, all right, Joe. Until next week, everyone. We'll talk to you guys then.